Okay, thank the Lord for the good message. Open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5, and I'll read a few verses here tonight. I was thinking while Brother Kirby was preaching, he talked about the state of our minds when we come to church. I thought about that passage in Acts 10. Cornelius, you know what he said to Peter? He said, "We're all here, present before God, to hear what He's commanded thee."
Amen.
So that's the way we need to be when we come to church, and that is, we're all here, not to be seen.
Right.
We're all here present before God to hear what You got to say
right.
to us.
Amen.
If we'll come to church with that kind of mind open to the things of God, we'll leave benefited.
Amen.
We'll leave blessed of the Lord.
Amen.
So that's why we need to pray before we come to church, and that is, Lord, when I go, help me to go with an open mind.
Yes, sir.
Because You got something to say to me.
Right.
Ephesians chapter 5, I want to begin with verse 8. "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Seeing then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." I'm going to stop with that verse. You may be seated. I'm going to use that verse for the text tonight, verse 18. "Be not drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit."
Amen.
So I'm going to preach a little bit tonight on the old stool and the filling of the Spirit.
Amen.
Every believer has the Spirit of God within them.
Sure.
Everyone.
Amen.
For our Lord said that. He said, "Now, I'm going away. But I'm going to send another comforter, and he'll not only be with you, but he shall be in you."
Right.
And there's a reason for that. What? To lead and to guide you into all truth.
That is right.
So when you think about the Spirit of the Lord, every believer has the Spirit of God in them. And so I'm thankful and grateful that God didn't leave us as orphans.
Amen.
But He sent us another comforter that He might be with us, in us, to lead us and guide us into all truth.
Amen.
There's a lot of ideals and opinions about the filling of the Spirit. And I'm no authority on it, really, but the Bible is.
Yes,
so if I'll just say what the Bible says and preach what the Bible says, that's the final authority.
Sure.
Doesn't matter how you feel, how I feel.
Right.
Is what the Bible says.
Right. Amen.
So when you think about the filling of the Spirit, I think I'm correct when I say all it means is allowing the Spirit of God to control us.
Right.
It doesn't mean that you'll have dreams.
Right.
Doesn't mean that you'll have visions.
Right. Right.
Doesn't mean you'll run around talking like a goose. It simply means that the Holy Ghost is having control of you.
Amen.
He said, I think I'm right on that.
Yes, sir.
So let's look at it just for a little bit. Every one of us saved by the grace of God, We need to recognize that we need to be controlled by the Spirit of the Lord. I want to make this statement. Being filled with the Spirit of God is not a one-time experience. No, it's a daily, daily experience. And that's why Paul said, I die daily. So every day that you and I get up, we need to be controlled by the Spirit of the Lord. And some days we're probably controlled more by Him than we are other days. And that's the reason. The reason for that is because we do not submit to Him and allow Him to have control of us. I want to say, first of all, I'm talking about the old time way. Talking about what the Bible says. We're living in days of a new school concerning a lot of things connected with religion. But aren't you glad that we have the final word, the Bible, and it is the final word.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you went out here tonight and asked some people, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit of God? You'd have a lot of different answers. But the correct answer is found in the Word of God.
Amen.
It doesn't matter how we feel and about our emotions and about what we might have experienced. The final word is what the Word says about the filling of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
I want to say, first of all, one of the evidence or proofs, like I say this way, of being filled. And keep in mind, when I say filled, I'm talking about being controlled.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we will experience as we're controlled by the Spirit of God, we'll be careful, cautious about our life.
Yes, sir.
And about our conduct and our manner of living.
Yes, sir.
Look at it, if you will, in these verses here, in verses 1 down through verse 7. I'm not going to read them all, but verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And he said, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for our sweet smelling and safety. Then he mentioned some things. When you think about that, I want to say, first of all, that we are careful with our words.
Yes, sir.
When we are controlled by the Spirit of God, we are very careful about our words. Now, that's in the Bible. If you'll notice, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, Paul said this, let no corrupt communication proceedeth out of your mouth, but that with is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers.
Amen.
So what he's telling us is that if we're controlled and filled by the Spirit of God, we will be careful about our works.
Right.
We'll be very cautious and careful about what we say, how we say it, and why we say it.
Right. Yes, sir.
Somebody said, well, I got a mind of my own. Now, you've been hearing some good preaching on the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus. You don't have a mind of your own. We're saved by the grace of God. The Spirit of the Lord is to control our thoughts.
Amen.
And our words.
Yes,
that is true, is it not?
Here
in this fifth chapter of Ephesians, I think it is about verse 12, the Bible said, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in secret. Now think about that verse. There are some things we ought not repeat. There are some things we ought not discuss. And yet preachers get in the pulpit and talk about and use suggestive language. And people leave with their mind in the gutter. We ought to be very careful with our words.
Amen.
While the evidence of being controlled by the Spirit of God, we'll be careful with our words.
Right.
Not only will we be careful about our words and with our words, but we'll be careful also with our walk.
That's right.
Notice what the Bible says, Ephesians 5 and verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise.
Yep.
Be careful about your walk.
Yep.
The old timer said it, and you've heard it over and over again. I heard it years ago, and The old timer said, really, that word circumspectly could mean that it's like a cat on a rail. And there's a bulldog on each side. He's going to be very careful how he walks. And that is true. We need to walk circumspectly and be careful how we walk. Walk circumspectly, carefully, be cautious about our walk. Now, I'm talking about the filling of the Spirit of God. When we feel it, a controller works. When we feel it, a controller walk. And also, not only our words and our walk, but also when we control by the Spirit of God and feel the Spirit of God, it will also control our worship.
Yeah.
But, you know, what the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, you speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord.
Amen.
Now underline that good verse.
Yeah.
We come to church and sing out of the hymn books, and therefore even those that sing the specials, we're not singing to men.
That's right.
We're singing and making melody in our heart unto the Lord.
Amen.
And I said that last night, say it again tonight, you can't preach the gospel. We preach to men, sing to God. And Spirit-filled people worship God, singing, making melody in their heart unto the Lord. Worship Him, give Him glory. And so when you think about being controlled by the Spirit of God, you don't come to be entertained.
Right.
And you don't come to entertain.
Right.
You come to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
And make melody in your heart unto the Lord.
That's right.
Now, if I come to church and I'm entertained, why, I may forget all about it when I leave.
That's right.
But if I come and I really worship God in spirit and in truth, I will benefit, I'll be helped, and when I go away, I can say, you know, it was good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
So we're to be careful with our words, in our walk, in worship, and also I'd insert this, and this is not politically correct, I know, but when your spirit feel controlled by the Spirit, you're careful about your wardrobe.
Oh, that's right.
Amen.
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 Yes, spirit feel women do not go around showing their flesh.
Right. Amen.
Spirit-filled women that saved by the grace of God are very careful about displaying their flesh.
Sure. Amen.
Is that not true?
True.
And also, spirit-filled men.
Right.
Do not mow their yard with their shirt off.
Amen.
Spirit-filled men do not run around in a halter top and knee shorts. I know that's not politically correct, but if you're spirit-filled, in other words, I believe this. I believe a father, a husband that's spirit-filled, he's not going to even allow his daughters to see him running around half-naked.
That's right.
Okay, so that'll take away with mixed bathing. That'll do away with this crowd saying, well, it's not what's, in other words, God looketh on the heart and doesn't look on the outward appearance. Yes, God does. And when we're controlled and filled with the Spirit of God, we're very careful about what we wear, men and women alike.
Right.
A spirit-filled woman will not. Now, I know this is kind of hard, but a spirit-filled woman will not wear men apparel. All right, I know where I'm at. I know where I've been for a long time, and I've always preached that, and I'm still preaching that.
Sure.
Amen.
Amen.
And spirit-filled men will not go around with lace on their clothes. They want to be manly and look like a man, act like a man, talk like a man.
Right.
I know that's not politically correct, but I'm talking to you about being controlled by the Spirit of God. We be careful with our words, careful in our walk, careful in worship, and about our wardrobes.
Amen.
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 That's right. And by the way, in Ephesians 4, verse 30, the Bible said, by the way, all the things I've mentioned will grieve him.
Right.
And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed in the day of redemption.
Right.
Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you.
Yes,
now some folks get angry when you preach like I just got through preaching.
Right.
And they'll have bitterness.
Yep.
And some, it seems like, never get over it.
Can
I just insert something right here? Bitterness will do you more harm than will anybody else.
That's right.
You know that?
That is right.
So really, you think about being filled with the Spirit of God. And Paul said, be not drunk with wine, but wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Be controlled with the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll cause us to be careful. It'll also cause us to be conscious. Awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead.
Amen.
In other words, it'll cause us to know what's going on. That is verse 18. I've heard him say, well, in other words, a man filled with the Spirit's like being drunk on wine. That's not what he's saying.
No, sir.
You can be drunk on wine, don't know where you are.
Right. Yeah.
You can be drunk on wine, not remember what you said.
Yep. Right.
You can be drunk on wine, forget all you said.
Yep.
But when you're filled with the Spirit of God, you know where you are. You know what you said. You know why you said it. You can say amen.
Amen.
Somebody said, I got filled with God. Didn't know where I was at. Didn't know what I said. Didn't know when I went to church. Didn't know when I left the church. And old granny came down a waving her handkerchief and fainted. You don't come to church to faint. You come to church to listen.
Amen.
I mean, I hear that. You've heard that. Old granny's spirit filled. Boy, she'd come to church. She probably didn't come about every 6 months. And boy, she'd wave a little hanky and she'd come down and just pass out. Well, you don't go to church to faint. You go to church, wide awake. In other words, conscious of where you are, why you're there, and therefore, you know who you are, where you are, what you're doing, why you did it.
Amen.
Sometimes I got filled with God, don't even know what I did. Oh, no. You won't find that in the Bible. Now, a man drunk on wine can do that.
Yeah. Right.
What I think that is saying is wine will control a man.
Right. Right.
Also, the Spirit of God will control a man.
Right.
Wine will cause a man, in other words, to say things, do things, go places that he wouldn't do otherwise.
Right.
And also, the Spirit of the Lord will cause us to be careful of our words,
right,
in our walk, in our dress,
amen,
and also worship God. And we know who we worship,
yep,
why we worship, where we worship.
Amen.
And we go home and say, thank God, I'm glad I didn't go to sleep. I'm glad I didn't faint. If I'd have fainted, I wouldn't have got what you preached tonight. I'd have missed that good message, and therefore I'd have went away. And somebody said, well, what did Brother Kirkman preach? I don't know. I got filled with the Spirit of God and passed out over there. I don't even know what he said. That's not true. That is not true. But now I've heard that. And by the way, a lot of preachers and a lot of churches, they just believe that's all right. I heard just talking about today, rebuking people. Sometimes you've got to rebuke people publicly. I remember a church I went to, stayed 25 years. And when I got there, they had a lady that she is a member, and she found out she'd come about every 6 months. But when she came, she was spirit-filled. And when she came, you better mark her down, she was going to shout. Spirit-filled, spirit-filled. So she dropped in one morning, and she started, and I said, hold it, sit down. I haven't been to study all week, and God didn't give me this message for you to take my time. You sit down. It's time to preach.
Amen.
Now, her kin folks didn't like it, and her daughters didn't like it, and her granddaughter didn't like it, but I think I told her right.
Amen.
Hey, you don't go to the study and pray, and God give you a message, and let some woman or man come in, hadn't been there in 6 months, and they're going to take your time preaching? Oh, no, not mine. You got to, in other words, rebuke people that need to be rebuked and do it publicly. You say you might embarrass her. She need to be embarrassed. Amen. Okay, I'll move on off of that one, but I'm telling you, there's a difference in being filled with the Spirit of God, in other words, than being drunk on wine. We know who we are. We know where we are. We know what we're doing. Why we're doing it. Say amen.
Amen.
Is that not true?
That is.
So Paul said, now be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Spirit, be filled with the Spirit. Not only when we feel controlled, now I already said to you, I'm not authority on it. Sometimes I feel more than I am others. But the Bible's authority on it.
Yes, sir.
And what the Bible says is for you and for me.
Amen.
As Carney just said to Peter, we're all here, present. And we're here to hear what God's got to say to us.
Amen.
Not only are we careful about our conduct, or in other words, words and walk and wardrobes and worship, but also we are conscious. Awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now I think Paul's writing to the church.
Yes, sir.
I believe he's writing to the saints at Ephesus.
Yes, sir.
And I believe he's reminding them that it's not time to go to sleep. It's time to be awake. And therefore, we're in evil times. And our brothers told us. And we're in dangerous times and troublesome times. And we need to be controlled by the Spirit of God.
Yes,
now, if you listen to this charismatic crowd on television, radio, printer's page, you won't get what the Bible says about being filled.
Right.
Or controlled by the Spirit of God. Writing books like Good Morning Holy Ghost. Hogwash on that. One of them said, I was sitting in my study and I was there and had my little yellow, in other words, pad out and the door open and walked in God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. And said, the Holy Ghost came over and laid his hand upon my shoulder and said, Sonny boy, what do you need today? Well, see, I've read the Bible a few times. When our Lord appeared to the disciples, he didn't knock, and the door didn't open. He's there.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
See, if our Lord had come, which he did not, he wouldn't have had to knock, open the door. He'd have been there.
Right.
But you mark her down now. He wasn't there, never has been there, never will be there. Our Lord is not appearing in a body these days.
Right.
He is living in us, and we have the Word of God, and he's not coming to us in a dream or a vision.
Right.
It's good to have a Bible, isn't it?
Amen.
Now, it's not popular today, but it's still the Word, and it's still true.
Yes, sir.
But here's another little thought about it, and I'm not going to be long-winded. Being filled with the Spirit of God will cause us to be careful. Being filled with the Spirit of God will cause us to be conscious.
Amen.
Being filled with the Spirit of God will cause us not to be confused.
Amen.
See, the church in Corinth was really confused.
Yes,
and here's what the Bible said. Paul said, God is not the author of confusion.
Yes, right.
They had a lot of problems in Corinth.
Yep.
Women problems,
yes.
Money problems, tongue problems. I don't know why it is some of these women preachers don't preach out of that book. I wonder why some of these women preachers don't preach what the Bible says about a woman that ought to keep her mouth shut in church and not usurp authority over a man.
Sure.
That's what it means, not to usurp authority over men.
Right.
Let your women keep silent in the church. Well, old granny's spirit feeling, buddy, she'll come in, she'll prophesy. She needs to sit down and listen. Okay.
Amen.
I'm telling it right.
That is right. Yes, sir.
Amen.
All right. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, the Bible said, God is not the author of confusion.
Amen.
Spirit-filled people believers are not confused about the Bible.
That's right.
The Word of God.
Amen.
I'm not confused about where the Bible is.
Yeah.
I got it.
That's right.
I'm not confused about what it is. The King James English speaking Bible.
Amen.
That's why I don't have a Living Bible, Good News for Modern Man, NIV. Spirit filled people, in other words, are not confused about the Word of God, and therefore they won't be going to places where the Word of God is not.
Right.
Spirit-filled people don't go to church where they read out of some kind of so-called Bible that denies hell, the virgin birth, blood atonement. A spirit-filled person won't go there.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, you be spirit-filled and go down there. That fellow, he'll talk about, in other words, he doesn't believe in the blood, doesn't believe in the virgin birth, he doesn't believe in the inspiration of the Scripture. Well, if you're saved and born again, you'll leave that place, find you a good fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church that believes the Word of God or preach the Word of God and try to live the Word of God.
Right.
By the way, look up here at me. I heard today that the Protestant Pope died. Well, I'm a Baptist and not a Protestant, so my Pope is not dead. That's all right. Amen. My high priest is not in Rome, Italy. Praise God, he's in heaven. And I know, and those priests in Rome, they come, they go, they die. But the Bible said, my friend, our priest, the great high priest, liveth forever. And also Paul said, there are no priests on earth. Only believing priests on earth. I'm a priest. And I'm a king.
Amen.
So you don't look like much. Well, I am. And you are too if you're saved. So when you think about it, the Bible teaches when we're controlled by the Spirit of God, we're not confused about the Word of God, and we're not confused about the Bible. We believe it to be inspired, infallible, inerrant, and we believe that it is forever.
Right.
I'm not confused. You're not confused. Spirit-filled people are not confused about the Bible.
Right.
People that are Spirit-filled, controlled by the Spirit of God, they are not only not confused about the Bible, but they're not confused about the church. That's right.
Yeah.
You know why I'm not confused about the church? I got a Bible.
Right.
I'm not confused about the church.
Amen.
I believe, according to the Scripture, that the church and the churches of the Lord Jesus are local, tangible,
yes,
visible,
yes,
bodies on earth.
Right.
When John wrote the Revelation, he wrote to seven churches in Asia Minor. They were all local, all visible, all had men pastors. And no women pastors, no co-pastors of men and women. Well, he and his wife are pastors. Noah's wife wanted a pastor. Say amen. Say amen. But you'd be surprised, a lot of Baptist preachers got, well, their wives are pastors. That's the truth. If you don't think so, just get around a little bit. You'll find out who's running the show. All right, I've got to move on. But Spirit-filled people are not confused about the local assembly of my believing Baptist church. They're not confused about that. No, no. And a church is a called out assembly of baptized believers. Amen. I think his brother Shepherd maybe made the statement of supper. In other words, about that universal invisible. One fellow said it's a universal invisible monstrosity. How true that is. I'm talking to you about just simply being filled, controlled by the Spirit of God. Somebody said, when you feel, with the Spirit of God, do you feel different? Well, I wouldn't say you'd feel all that much different. Oh, yeah, I mean, you will, but in other words, here's what I'm trying to lead up to you. Somebody said, when you feel with the Spirit of God, you'll have all kind of emotions. You'll have chill bumps run up down your backbone. No. That's not true. Also, we're not confused about the Bible. We're not confused about the church. We're not confused about the business of the church.
Oh, yeah.
What's the church supposed to do? What's the business of a local assembly? What is it?
Right.
To carry out the Great Commission.
Amen.
To evangelize sinners. And also to help saints grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord.
Yes.
The church of the living God, the business of a local assembly, is not like a community center.
Right.
It is not, my friend, some kind of club. It is not a place for, my friend, a concert. It's a place to assemble and hear the Word of God and preach the Word of God and worship God in spirit and in truth and sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord.
Amen.
See, a lot of churches are nothing but a the worst community center.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's all it is. Have you ever heard these people say, my church, my building? That's what they're saying, my building. No, it's the Lord's building.
Right.
Right.
And it's not the community center.
Right.
And it's not built for homecomings.
Right.
And weddings.
Yeah.
And funerals. Now we use it for weddings.
Mm-hmm.
And use it for funerals. But a lot of folks got the idea that that's what it's for.
Right.
In other words, just have weddings and funerals and have socials and, you know. But that's not what it's for. Spirit-filled people go to church not to, in other words, be entertained. They don't go to church in order, in other words, to say, well, we're going down and we're going to, in other words, have a social and have fellowship. Well, we do have fellowship.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We all remember this. We go to meet with God.
Amen. Right.
We go to worship God.
Yes,
we go to hear from God.
Amen.
And that's the primary purpose of going to church.
Amen.
That's the reason God ordained it. I always say like this, God has a special day. It's the Lord's day,
yes,
and not your day.
Right.
And it's not your mama's day.
Yes.
And it's not your father's day.
Right.
Say amen.
Amen.
A lot of folks have that idea. Well, it's Mother's Day, and Mama hadn't been here a long time, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to stay at home with Mama. And then if she don't stay at home with Mama, and Mama had been to church since last Mother's Day, they'll bring her to church, put a bonnet on her, a good hat, and she'll come in, and the pastor will say, I want to recognize all the mothers today. I'm not going to recognize you if you haven't been in church 6 months. I'm not. I don't think that honors God. Why would you want to honor a backslider that hadn't been to church in 6 months and they bring her down and they want you to identify Mama and Grandpa and, in other words, how many children they got and great-grandchildren and they hadn't been there since last Mother's Day? Not me. I got better things to do and more important things to do.
Amen.
The Lord's day is the Lord's day, not Mama's day or Daddy's day. It is God's day all day long.
Amen.
God sanctified it, God set it apart, and God ordained the Lord's day as His day to worship Him on the first day of the week. I want you to remember that. If you're spirit-filled on the Lord's day, you know what you'll do if you're spirit-filled? You'll get up, you'll be excited about it, looking forward to it. Can't hardly wait to get there.
Amen.
You'll be down to the Lord's house.
That's right.
Amen. You won't be going to a homecoming. You won't be going to a family reunion on God's day. Okay, I know that's kind of hard.
Oh, yeah.
See, the Lord said, love the Lord God with all thine heart, thy soul, thy mind, thy strength. And if you love father and mother more than me, you're not worthy to be my disciple. That's what Jesus said. That's what the Bible said. And a spirit-filled believer will love Jesus more than he'll love his mama and dad and his children. That doesn't mean he doesn't love them. But it means he loves Jesus, in other words, more in first place. And if I love Jesus right, I love my wife right. If I love Jesus right, I love my children. If I love Jesus, I love the saints.
Yes, sir.
I'm just about through. Paul said, be not drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
And that's what it means,
right,
being controlled. Or would you agree with me tonight, the word, if we're Spirit-filled, we're Spirit-controlled, we'll be very careful with our words,
yes, sir,
our walk, our worship, and our wardrobes. And I can just go on, no, I think that's right.
Yes, sir.
And we will be conscious.
Wide
awake.
Yep. Yes.
Alert.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And will not be confused.
Amen.
About the things of God.
Amen.
In Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18 through 20, hear these words. And be not drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What's the evidence of being filled with the Spirit? The proof of speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. And then giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's the evidence,
right,
and the proof of just simply being controlled by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Think about that. See, a lot of folks got the idea, if you haven't had a dream, if you haven't had a vision, if you haven't had some kind of far out experience that nobody else has had, then you haven't been filled. Every believer has the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
Every believer can be filled.
Right.
And every believer must be filled daily,
yes,
in order to do what the Lord says do. It's not just a one-time experience. It's a daily experience. And so every day we ought to ask the Lord to help us. Help me, Lord, to just submit to Thee.
Amen.
Amen.
That doesn't mean you can be feeling have a headache. You can be feeling have a backache. You can be feeling get the flu. Now that charismatic crowd wouldn't preach that. I refuse it. I refuse to get sick. I refuse to have the flu. You know what they do when they say they refuse to have the flu? They stay home and their wife preaches. That's right. That's exactly what to do. Well, I've tried to refuse flu, but I got it anyway. I didn't invite it. I didn't want it. But I got it. Somebody said the reason you got it is because you wasn't right with God. Let me be the judge of that.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
So we'll never say, well, the reason he's sick, or the reason she's sick, or the reason they had the flu, or the reason they got headaches, and the reason they got backaches is because they're not right with God. If they're right with God, they wouldn't have that. As long as you're in this body of flesh, you're going to have some ailments.
Right.
One fellow said it's like this in his old flesh. When you hit that 40 mark, it's a maintenance the rest of the way.
Yeah.
And that is true. I got aches and pains and ailments I never thought I'd have. And you say they might get better. Well, they could. But I don't know. I thank the Lord for the good message Brother Kirkman brought on the mind.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus. I think a lot of time you do too. We've preached it for years, all we preachers have. This crowd talking about the evidence of being saved, the evidence of being filled with the Spirit, speaking in tongues. John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit of God. And I don't read where he ever spoke in tongues.
Right.
Our Lord Jesus, filled with the Spirit of God. I never read where he spoke in tongues.
Right.
Now, I'm not very much authority on the Word, don't have a lot of knowledge of it, but I know one thing. When Paul talked about those unknown tongues, he wasn't talking about, in other words, a tongue that you couldn't understand.
Right.
He's talking about language. Now, if a man came here tonight and said, I'm going to speak in Spanish, that'd be an unknown tongue to me.
Right.
Have you ever noticed that crowd? I'm going to be through. You ever noticed that crowd talking about being filled with the Spirit of God? Said they spake with the tongues of angels.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard that? By the way, you read the Scripture. When that angel spoke to Cornelius, he spoke in a language that Cornelius could understand.
Yeah, that's right.
When that angel spoke to Hagar in that desert, he spoke in her language.
That's right.
If the angel comes to you tonight and starts talking in a language you don't understand, tell him to go back where he came from, and it wasn't heaven.
That's right.
Come on, brother. Come on. Come on, Brother Farrell, I'm through.